Just as by way of an introduction, when we think about radical church, just the very concept of radical church would have been absolutely foreign to that first century church. I happen to know that Dave is preaching on these things right now, and he may have some deeper insights for us tonight. But the truth of the matter is that they were inherently radical. Their very identity, their very presence in the world was radical. They upset every conceivable apple cart, both religiously and socially, in that day. They certainly upset Judaism. They were kind of considered a sect of Judaism until it was very clear that they were not, they were worshiping Jesus as Messiah, and things got really, really rough. And I mean, the whole nature of the book of Acts is really quite radical. And so this whole business of, it's kind of interesting that we have to come back to that. And so I just, this is not, you asked me not to throw any hard things, but this just came to my mind here, so, you know, hang in there. Why is that? Why is it, what took place, what would have been considered natural in the early days of the New Testament is not so natural now. Why do we have to come back and visit this idea of being radical? What do you think about that, Josh?
I think Dave is preaching a message, a series in Acts chapter 2 called Devoted, and I think he should answer that.
Okay,
first.
Dave, good. good.
We told Pat, give us the questions before we get up here. You know, okay. He didn't give us that question. No, Lakeside's been a church plant, now a church for 7 years, which seems amazing to me. I remember meeting here and thinking about the concept of Sailorville paying basically 100% of the expenses and starting. And in many ways, as I started out this year, I've kind of come to the conclusion in my personal life and maybe even the ministry that Lakeside has just become, after 7 years, is kind of status quo. And the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me. And so we've been doing a series called Devoted from Acts chapter 2, and the subtitle, How the First Church Did It Right. And the visual that the Spirit of God has given to me for my personal life is that, how many of you remember using transparencies? Remember when we'd flip them on the, you know, that kind of thing? Well, if you took the first church and you put everything they did, and it was a transparency, and you overlaid it on top of your church, and specifically for me, Lakeside Fellowship, how would it match up? How would we look? And I came to the conclusion for my own life and for our church is that we don't always really match up, just one area. A couple of weeks ago, we looked at the simple thing in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that they were devoted to the prayers. And as I studied that, they were devoted to corporate prayer. You go Acts 2, Acts 3, Acts 4, Acts 6, almost every chapter of Acts, the people were getting together corporately and praying. And I wrote down a little note when I got done studying that, is that there wasn't a great work that God did where they didn't pray ahead of time. And I think, you know, our churches, and it's a little bit of a trend or a tendency or the busyness of our schedules, you know, we have growth groups and we pray in the growth groups, but we don't really have any organized corporate times of prayer. And then I had somebody remind me, well, we do 24 hours of prayer, and we just got done with that Friday and Saturday where everybody signs up for an hour. And it's like, but I said, but we do that once a year. You know, that's like taking a little dipping our toe into the bucket of what those first century churches. So when I was thinking about this radical church, really radical is going back to Acts 2 and first century Christianity and saying, what was it that changed the world? What did they do? And that's kind of been where the Spirit's been leading me.
Well, you refer to Acts chapter 2, and I'll just read that. It says that those who gladly received Peter's word were baptized, and there were added that day 3,000 souls, and they devoted, there's your theme, themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, breaking of bread and prayers, and awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles, and all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need, and day by day attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. So God was adding to their number. Day by day, those were being saved. You know, the thought occurred to me, you know, in this whole discussion that, you know, in any century, be it first century or now, the most radical thing that happens for a church, and oftentimes within a church, is when a soul is converted. And would you agree with that? Because that's the most fundamental, radical change. And I asked you guys if you would come and tell us a little bit about, we'll start down there with you, Josh, down there at Living Waters on the south side. Talk to us about this radical aspect of the gospel in someone's life.
Sure. There's just been some cool things that have been happening on the south side of Des Moines in regards to evangelism. And, am I good? Am I good, Doug?
You might get electrocuted, but you're okay.
Okay. I'm going to take Dave's. Oh. Or I just get a new one. Okay. All right. There's been some risks from really cool stories, even in the last 10 days or so, that have just been really cool, very much a blessing to our church. We have recently just started a Spanish small group where it's all Spanish speaking, and that group has really taken off in a really cool way through Chad DeClean, and Chad and Natalie are up here tonight, and they have just taken that over, and I get to sit in on that small group, and I understand less than 10%. I mean, I'm just sitting there like, see, you know, and I'm learning. My goal in 2013 is to learn Spanish. But it's so cool to see ministry happening on that level at our church. And we have a young man who comes to that Bible study named Augustine. And he came in just completely, I don't know if he had any experience in the Word of God. And week after week, as they've been walking through the Gospel of Mark, Augustine has progressively gotten warmer and warmer and warmer towards the things of God and towards the Gospel. And this last Sunday, it was two Sundays ago, Augustine and Delia, Delia is his girlfriend and Delia is a Christian, they were walking out of church, and I just felt led by the Spirit of God just to confront Augustine in the best possible way, because he has been showing so much signs of life and just receptivity towards the things of the Lord. And I said, Augustine, I got to stop you, and I got to ask you a question. I said, I know that you've been in Bible study and you have been engaging lately. And I said, have you asked Jesus into your heart? Have you asked Jesus to save you from your sins? And Augustine looked at me. His eyes got like, oh, wasn't expecting that question outside, out of church, you know. And Augustine, he looked at me and said, yes, I believe. And I said, Augustine, well, when did this happen? And he said, at church. Here, you know, and we're still working with him to see if he is a genuine convert to Christ, but all indications are that he is, and Chad's been working with Augustine. Amen. And that was one story. The other story was just we had a guy that I've been sharing the gospel with personally for the last month and a half or so, and he is good friends of actually Dave and Lori Tashner right up here, and his name's Alan, and he came to church. And he, when I first met him, you know, he's an ex-Marine, and he's a hard-nosed kind of guy. And I said, hey, you know, how are you with your relationship with God and things like that? He's like, well, you know, I believe in God, and I think we're good, you know. And I said, well, you know, and I shared the gospel with him and asked him about trusting Christ as his Lord and Savior. And he said, well, you know, I've never done that part before. Mm-hmm. You know, I believe in God, but I've never done that part before. And just began to share the gospel with him at every opportunity that I had. And he came to our Iron Men, which is our men's ministry meeting on this last Wednesday night. We had about 40 guys there, and we had a newer believer named Dave step up, and he just totally did a great job sharing his testimony and sharing a challenge from God's Word. And then Mark Lang, who used to be a member here at Sailorville and is a member down at Living Waters, gave one of the clearest and best gospel presentations I've ever heard him share, and it was just powerful. It was awesome. And while Mark was sharing, I'm praying for Alan, because I can see Alan in the back, and I'm praying that somehow the gospel would be getting through to this man. And we got done, you know, we closed everything up and dismissed, and Mark and I kind of both floated back toward Alan, and Alan was all pinky-eyed, you know, he was all Marines don't cry, they just missed, you know. said, Al, what's going on? And he said, Josh, everything clicked tonight. Everything clicked. And he said, and I gave my life to Jesus tonight.
Amen. Amen.
And so those are two stories of just recent things that God's been doing. And I'm just, you know, I'm not worthy of any of those things. And none of us are. We're just privileged to see those things happen. So.
Oh, amen. But that is the basic, most radical thing that can be taking place in our church, are individuals having a genuine relationship with Christ. And seeing some of that evidence early on. Greg, you've had some activity in recent days as well, haven't you?
Yeah,
at High Point.
Yeah, God's been doing some radical things through his ministry down in Altoona. I'm going to share three different testimonies. One happened 2 weeks ago. Members from this church, previously part of the core group, Mark and Donna Curtis, faithful members to Saylorville, just supremely devoted to the gospel and reaching out to people. Mark Curtis, quiet guy, loves the Lord, has been witnessing to his one of his coworkers for years. And recently, probably right around May, she was interested in doing Bible studies. And so Mark asked me to go with him because he had never done a Bible study before. And so we started going over there, and her name was Brenda. And we sat at their house. We've been doing study with her since May. And she started coming to High Point, and her and her husband were going to a very religious church, a Methodist church. And she was just amazed at the fact that we were going through the gospel. And she's like, well, you know, our pastor, she tells us that we shouldn't listen to Rush Limbaugh. That's all she talks about. And I'm like, why don't you come to church on Sunday and maybe you'll hear a different message. And well, Ron and Brenda specifically, has been hearing a different message. And most recently, and I just rejoice in Mark's faithfulness at work to continually be a testimony to her, because she watched him like a hawk. And Mark lived the gospel. And Brenda texted me 2 weeks ago, and she said, Greg, I get it. I finally get it. And she said she was weeping at her desk, saying that she had trusted Jesus to save her from her sins and to ask God to take over her life. And I said, you need to go tell Mark. And she went and told Mark. And Mark called me that night, and he's like, I've never been so happy. And I said, Mark, you keep being a testimony at work. And he's like, I'm working on the next one. That's so radical, isn't it? Last week, a guy named Jamie, he'd been coming to church because of another part of a core group. Jens and Jamie Hansen did a phenomenal job leading our Survivor Days, which is our kids fellowship time, kind of like your VBS. And Jens and Jamie did such a fabulous job. We reached out. It was evangelistic in nature. And Jamie and his wife, Rebecca, started coming. And they brought their kids, because who doesn't want to have their kids learn about Jesus, right? I mean, they don't need them, but the kids need them. Well, that was the open door we needed. And so I had a chance to meet with Jamie and Rebecca and doing a Bible study with them. They started coming to church. And Jamie called me just 2 weeks ago and said, Greg, I asked Jesus to forgive me of my sins this morning. And that was a couple Fridays ago. I'm just telling you, and the last story I'm going to share, again, the partnership of the gospel at High Point is just radical, because people are excited about the gospel going forth. There is nothing else that matters. And myself and Matt Michelson and Jake Heisterkamp and Jay Simon and a bunch of people have been doing and reaching out to the Southeast Polk Community Schools and doing whatever we can to get into that door and to reach that school for Christ and reach their teachers for Christ and their faculty for Christ and whatever we can do. And God's given us opportunities to share with people in the school and share with people and through Nan Veach that goes here, and Sydney Veach, their daughter, Mike, and so we started doing a Bible study. We started reaching out and started doing a Bible study with Sydney and about seven of her friends. And it was amazing. There was a girl named Olivia there, one of Sydney's friends. And just Tuesday, we had a Bible study, and she said she was in the parking lot after the study, and she sat with Sydney Veach and asked Jesus to save her from her sins.
Wow.
And Sydney called me that night, and she was so excited. Nan called me the next morning, super excited, because radical things are happening, because the radical gospel is saving people. And so those would be three of the stories that God's been doing, and it's all God's glory.
Well, amen. I mean, to me, that's the most exciting thing of all, isn't it? Seeing people's lives change, genuine conversions. You know, the Apostle Paul said the thing that counts most is the new creation. And that's what you're talking about. It's wonderful to see it amongst our young people. We have somebody here, I won't call her out, that just came to Christ a few months back. And another individual, both connected with a couple of my younger sons, have come to Christ. They're going to get baptized on Thanksgiving weekend. And to see the radical changes that have taken place in their lives. If you were in the first service this morning, you didn't get to see the baptism that took place in the second service, where Leighton and Christina were baptized. I think we have a picture of them, and they were baptized. Their story, they gave a fairly full-blown account of their story, but what's really cool is the new creation aspect of their conversion. Those two individuals were living together, and as has been the case in many situations that we've come across, we started Bible studies with them. They were both converted. And we didn't really make much ado about that. We just let the Word of God and the Spirit of God work in their lives. And I think it was the second or third time that we got together. We just asked some basic questions. What is God doing in your life? And the first thing that comes up is, you know, he's really bothering us about the fact that we're living together. And so we said, well, that's a good thing to discuss. So we talked about that. And by the next time we got together, they had already come up with a plan to break away from one another before they get married. They're planning to get married in the spring, but they have, and that was a big financial thing because they'd made all these plans like so many of these couples do that move in with one another, but they made sacrificial plans to break up, and they have now done that. What a joy, amen? To see these kinds of things take place, that is no question about the most radical thing. Now, Dave over at Lakeside, they also do, we do a Sunday night, say they have a little blip here. We tell stories and testimonies from time to time. They do something like that as well. Dave, talk to us about what you have for us.
Yeah. Well, I, again, thankful for the opportunity to be here, and we learn some things from Sailorville and catch and grab onto the things that will work for us. And the video testimonies have been a blessing. So we do communion once a month, the last Sunday of the month, and then we always show a video testimony of somebody who just got saved. And so I have one. I want to just, Pastor Pat asked if I would show one of our videos. Just before I do, I was counting this fall. We've had a number of adults trust Christ as Savior, and I think back of the 7 years for us, and I think about how gracious God is to radically change lives. And the video you'll see is a gentleman whose life was radically changed. He'll tell it himself in the video. But just last Sunday, I had a lady come up after church, and it was the first time that she had been in church. And her first name is Erica. And she had filled out a card, and I met her and then talked to her on the phone just couple of days ago, and she said, Pastor, I don't have that relationship with Christ that you're talking about, but let me tell you what has happened and how I got to your church. And so somebody had invited her, but she had lost a child in pregnancy maybe a couple of years ago. I can't remember the exact time. And so she went to a low part in her life, and she has another son already and happily married. And she did not know. She knew that there was a hole in her life. She didn't know what it was. She didn't really have a great church experience. So by the Spirit of God, one night, Friday night, she decided to go to the Christian Family bookstore. She didn't know what she was looking for. She walked in, but she knew she needed something, to read something, to do something. She didn't know. She was searching. So the gentleman working behind the counter saw her kind of wandering around, and she kind of shared, I just feel kind of lost. That was the word she used. And so he directed her to a little devotional kind of thing for women. And what she did is, she said, Pastor, she said, this is going to sound really weird to you. She said, but our house, we have a big walk-in closet. And she said, in the last 2 months, she said, every day I go into that walk-in closet and I shut the door, and it's just me and God. And that's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And so I shared with her that God draws all men to himself, and she said, well, he's got his hook in me. And so She doesn't know Christ as her Savior yet, and I'm going over there Tuesday night with another gentleman in our church to share Christ. And so if you'd remember to pray for Erica, that would be awesome. But here's a story of Lance's, just a couple sentences. Lance's wife, Connie, got saved 3 or 4 years ago, maybe 4 years ago, and radically changed her life, but her husband wasn't there, had no interest in church, found a matter of fact, the guy's video that you heard, when I talked to him the first time about salvation, I said, what do you think happens when you die? And here's what he told me. He said, well, I was out at his farm place. He said, I think I'm going to turn into a Canadian goose. I was like, I was waiting for him to smile a little bit. He didn't smile. I was like, that's one of the weirdest answers I've ever heard. And he's just like, just look at him fly across there, so free. So I'm like, okay, well, we got a little work to do here. but his wife is radically, and so she started, I didn't know this, she started giving to the church. She had her income, his income, and he found out she was giving to the church, and he was torqued. And so she came to me a couple years ago and said, Pastor, what do I do? My husband doesn't want me to give a dime to your church. And I said, well, Connie, you need to obey your husband. You need to come under his authority. And God knows your heart. It's a lot more important your heart than your money. And I know you want to give. God knows you want to give. Show your husband that you are going to be a better wife knowing Christ as Savior and not a rebellious wife. And that's what she did. And through a gentle and quiet spirit from 1 Peter 3, God did amazing work. So we just have this video here.
My name's Lance Benton, and I've been with Lakeside for 2 years. I grew up on a farm in Audubon in Guthrie County, and then we moved to Colorado when I was about 7 years old. First thing my parents did, they took us to a church, and we got baptized, and I had water sprinkled on my head, but I didn't know what for and what the reason for that was. And then we moved to Nebraska, and then Kansas City, Missouri. We moved so much, I can't hardly remember it all. When my dad started drinking, it made me really scared of him. And I liked it when he was gone. We took his pickup, and we were going to go get my chickens. They were at some place, and we were going to go get them. He got really drunk. We were getting over towards Carroll, Iowa, and we were going through intersections at 80 miles an hour. Through four-way intersections there, and we were on the outskirts of Carroll, and I jumped out and just took off. It was in the middle of wintertime, and I ran clear through town, and I swore I was never going back. I had a lot of anger build up, a lot of anger. I learned to fight at a very early age. And then I found one gal who was the chief of police's daughter. I got married. 3 years went by, and we had our first son. His name was Justin. 2 or 3 years later, we had another son named Brandon, and I loved being a father. And I wasn't going to raise my boys like I was raised. My wife wanted to leave. And she started seeing other people, and I knew it, but it really didn't bother me. I asked the kids what they thought about it. And they'd go, well, she wouldn't ever hear her anyway. I was out splitting firewood, helping my brother-in-law next door. And I saw my sister run out of the house. When I looked up, it was a real rainy, just foggy day. And then they're standing there looking at me. And I turn around and I ask them what, and they go, I thought for sure it's my brother who had the heart attack, and it was my son that committed suicide the month after his birthday, and he had it all planned. He went and got a gun permit, he got a 9mm with hollow points, and he shot himself through the heart. Justin, he was a real bright young man, and he liked computers and video games, and he is very intelligent. I didn't feel like I'd spent near enough time with him like I did the other son. You go through the guilt, which I still do. All the stuff I was going through, the only thing, I never gave up on God. I knew in my heart that everything he dished out, he wasn't going to give me to my side. I couldn't handle it. Come to Polk City, and I had come up here to do some work for my sister, and I met Connie, and she turned my life around. Connie started going to church at Lakeside, and she started changing really fast. She was extremely happy. It's exactly what she was looking for. I finally went. One of the church members said, "Are you going to heaven?" I said, "Yeah." I plant trees and take care of the planet. And I went back with that person, and we sat outside, and we talked for a couple of hours. And I thought that person was totally straight-laced and everything, and they told me about their life, what a shambles it was. And I thought, I couldn't believe it. They had invited us over for dinner after church service. And I was asked if I was saved, and I said no. I got saved that day. I didn't realize that you had to have a personal relationship with God. The reason I want to be baptized, I want people to know that I have Christ in my life, and I'm not ashamed to have Christ in my life, and I want to help other people. I wish I would have known more about the Lord when I was younger. Because I'm so happy now. And something I told the pastor, I said, all the material things in the world don't mean nothing. I'd rather live in a cardboard box and not have him in my life. And I'm getting baptized. You know, really looking forward to it.
Amen. Well, that makes this whole venture worth it, doesn't it, guys? You don't have to invent programs, and we've talked about these things before. You don't really create needs, you fill them. And I think these guys have embraced this as well. I meet with these guys on a weekly basis, and we pray together, and we really believe that. You don't really create needs, you fill needs. What creates the needs is the gospel outreach itself, because it brings people, and people bring their needs with them, and that's how programs and whatnot take place. You know, even in the early church, when you talk about that, which is radical, the early church were the ones who saved babies off the street. The patra patres, which was the Roman, the father rules of that day, meant that a Roman father could just discard his child. He could walk away from it, and it would just be usually discarded into the streets, and they usually were left to die or whatever, scrounged for themselves. But it was the Christians, it was the early church that picked up those babies and did something very, very radical. And it was born of their conversion, of their compassion for God and reaching out to people and whatnot. And so radical things that took place as a result of the gospel. Again, you don't create needs, you fill them through the engine of the gospel. And so I know you guys agree with that, but tell me a little bit about how that's affected your work and what anything radical that perhaps you're doing. Greg, you've been quiet long enough. Maybe you should speak up here.
This wasn't one of the questions either.
It wasn't? Wait a minute. Well, I mean, no, something just... you're doing. Come on. Yeah.
Okay. It's a good spinoff. You know, in all seriousness, you know what's radical? You know what's different about... You know, we're so used to being in the Engage Network, and I'm so thankful for Josh, I'm so thankful for Dave, obviously thankful for Pat and the Engage Network and what God's doing, but you know what's radical about the Engage Network is that we're unabashedly not ashamed to share the gospel every single Sunday. And you guys got to understand this. I just did a wedding for a guy who up in Minnesota from a guy who got saved early on in the church plant. They asked me if, through circumstances, I married a couple that they knew, family, friends. And I went up there and I did the wedding. And I shared the gospel during the wedding. Novel concept. I learned from the Engage Network. And people came up to me and they said, I've never heard the gospel shared like that. I've never heard the gospel shared at a wedding. You know what's radical about the Engage Network? Is that we will continue to share the gospel and continue to share the gospel because that's what everyone needs. They don't need anything else. You know what's so unradical about why we live in the world we live in, why I think that we have to go back, is because we have everything. And what we only need is the gospel. Man, that Ben, what was his name? Lance? He could live in a cardboard box. I mean, that was the most powerful thing I heard. You know, we have the gospel. And that's the only thing that's radical in our church, and may that only be the only radical thing in our church.
Amen.
That's right. Well, for me, you know, it's, I just say yes and amen to what Greg just said. Don't you guys? I mean, I really agree with that 100% because our culture is constantly flowing away from the gospel, not toward the gospel. We're flowing toward comfort, not away from comfort. We're flowing toward damnation and destruction, not away from that. So therefore, the gospel recenters us every week as believers, which is why we preach and plead and beg people to trust Christ every week from our church pulpits. But it recenters us, and then it converts the sinner through the work of the Spirit. And that's what we need. That's radical. That is radical. And for us, I guess what's radical for me, I mean, just honestly from my heart, is just when I first thought about planting Living Waters and going to the south side of Des Moines in 2008, I called a church planter who had gone to plant a church there in 2005 and had they had shut their doors in 2007. In the exact same school that we planted the church in. And I remember calling him and said, hey, I'm a young guy, I'm 27 years old, I'm going to plant a church, South Des Moines, Riverwoods Elementary School. I understand that you guys planted a church there in 05, and you guys closed your doors last year. Can you tell me some things? And I remember him specifically saying to me, he said, good luck. And then he said, I wouldn't plant a church on the south side of Des Moines unless I had 100 core group members. And I said, well, this is supposed to be encouraging to me, right? And I remember that burned in me such a and that one conversation. I didn't need much more, but that fired me up beyond anything because I've heard that time and time again from my perspective, like, oh, you're planting a church on the south side of Des Moines, and that's going well. That's going well. And I say, glory to God, it is. Mm-hmm. Amen. Praise Jesus, it is, because if it were just me planting a church, we would have shut our doors 3 years ago. But Jesus Christ, through his supernatural resurrection, is causing dead souls to rise.
Amen.
You know? Yeah, and I say, praise Amen. God for that. Amen. And I get fired up about that still because that's still the mantra, that's still the unspoken kind of expectation of our side of town. And I'm just, it fires me up to no end. Like just keep thinking that. I just keep wanting people to think that because it burns a fire in me and it burns a fire in the people that I love and the people that we've poured into. To see Christ come into their lives and change them. And practically what's radical about our church, there's a lot of things, but I just say, you know, we specifically have been called to a lower income district or whatever, and I think that the Lord has really put on our hearts, like it burns in me still, multi-ethnic, multicultural gospel-centered ministry that just lifts high the name of Christ in worship. And I'm so excited for our Spanish group because I think that it's going to radically change the way we worship. on the south side of Des Moines, like just multicultural. How do you do that? And how do you bring together Spanish and English? And I just talked to a Buddhist. I talk to Buddhists probably once a month when I go out calling, and I want to win a Buddhist to Jesus. Like, that's what I dream about at night. I dream about winning Buddhist people to Christ. I do, and I just, it burns, and I just, you know, and so we've really had to go into this community, and we've had to say that we have to meet physical needs in order to meet spiritual needs. And God has really blessed that mindset because of our back-to-school giveaway, and which is, our goal is to serve 1,000 students this next summer and just reach a ton. We want to reach the entire south side of Des Moines for Christ. And we just, our building is almost complete. We should be in there in the next month and a half or so. And we want to use that for after-school tutoring, which 90% of our kids at Riverwoods Elementary School are on reduced or free lunches, and we want to run after-school tutoring for all of these kids. And we've got the Riverwoods Elementary School counselor coming to us saying, whatever you want to do after school, like, we want you guys to do that. And I'm like, well, you understand we're going to be sharing Jesus with people. Every day. Well, every day we run this program, we will share the gospel with these kids every single time. And she's like, yeah, that's fine. We don't care. And those are the things that for us, like, that just burns within us, because that is the type of church we are going to be long term. That's just who we are. And it's different. I know it's different than maybe some of the other engaged churches, and that's okay. I mean, it's totally cool. Each community is different that way. But like Lance Benton, that to me is just as powerful as anything I'm talking about on the south side. And so that's just kind of things we're doing that are radical, outside the box. The Lord said, just think outside the box all the time, because I'm going to push you out of the box if you won't think that way. And that's just some things we're doing. So. Cool.
Wow, thanks, Josh. Dave, why don't you add to that from the Lakeside perspective? In terms of, you know, radical, what are you doing there that is shaking up your community?
Thanks. Let me just repeat a verse, Pastor Pat, that you already read, Acts 2:42, because to me, there are four things that are mentioned here by Luke that made them, I mean, they turned the world, according to Scripture, upside down. That's a good definition of radical. Yes. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, Word of God, New Testament, to the fellowship, to one another. I mean, they so loved one another in their local church that people on the outside wanted in, because you don't get that on the outside. They devoted themselves to the breaking of bread, which, if you study that out, I don't think it's just cookies and coffee back there. I think it was coming around the table, remembering what Christ has done. So they devoted themselves to the cross and then to the prayers. They devoted themselves to, God, you need to do something here. That's radical. You need to, that's radical. And so I think about how each one of our communities is different. I don't know how far Polk City is from Sailorville, 7 miles, maybe 8 or maybe a little bit less. I don't know exactly. But I know we have a specific group of people in our community that in some ways are different. Lance would be, not his testimony necessarily, but the kind of person he is very typical of who we're trying to reach for the gospel. It's different than Josh or even Greg. So, and even for us, We definitely live, I pastor in the smallest of communities. So right now we're about 4,000 people, and with the growth, and we're really growing right now. We're getting a hotel, and we're actually getting a grocery store. That's a big stuff. That's radical for Polk City. Fairway's coming in. I don't know if you guys knew that or not, but that's pretty big. So they say in 5 years we'll go from 4,000 to 5,500. So what we have decided to do, the leadership, myself, I'm not the one that came up with this slogan, but we're trying to enact it. The Great Commission is go and tell, not come and see. Mm-hmm. We don't have a church building throughout the week, really, for people to come and see like this. I mean, this is like, I don't know how much you guys just take this building for granted, but, man, I remember the orange carpet and the pews and all that stuff, and this building is, like, awesome. I had to kind of tell myself the truth. I mean, like, if we had a building like this, we could worship just awesome, you know. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right. You don't need a building to worship. So we're trying to be community involved. That's not really radical, and I don't think we're really radical, but I'll just list off some things we are intentionally doing so that we have a shot at sharing the gospel. So a week from Monday, we will feed all of the teachers' employees at the high school and the middle school. For North Polk Community Schools, it's about 140 employees, and our church family is going to feed them. We have a simple little thing. We have an outdoor movie on the square, and we try to have it be at least a family value kind of movie, and we serve free popcorn and stuff, and we're just wanting them to know we're ordinary people. We love the Lord, but we're ordinary people. The youth give 2 days every summer to serve the city. They go to the city manager, and he gives them projects. We are we're one of the major sponsors of our school district, so they have gold level and this and that. And so we've chosen as a church to sponsor our school district, and so we sponsor all the major sporting events. We purchase passes, activity passes, and we encourage our leaders and our church families to go to school events, and we give out the passes for them to do that. We sponsor Kids Zone at the Four Seasons Festival, which costs us about $1,500, and then we have a booth where we can share about Lakeside and about Christ. We have done a very simple thing. Lots of different groups have done it. Maybe you're part of this. We adopted the highway coming out of Polk City, going across the mile-long bridge and all the way to 141. It's about 2.5 miles, and we clean the ditches twice a year, but they allow us, the government allows us to have a sign stating that this stretch of mileage is being taken care of by Lakeside Fellowship. And we obviously call on all the newcomers, and we want them to know when we knock on their door that we care about the community, we care about them, and hopefully God will use that to soften their heart for the sole purpose of being able to share the gospel with them. Well, just one thing, and this isn't radical probably at all, but based on our study out of Devoted, we a couple of weeks ago looked at, okay, well, how did they do communion? And in the first church, they were doing it daily, breaking bread. In Acts chapter 20, they were doing it weekly. And then it says, as often as you do it, and we have come to the conclusion, and our people have really spoken somewhat loudly after kind of sharing about that we need to do communion more than once a month. And so what we've done, and we started this, is that we have the once a month that we do communion, but then we also do communion in our growth groups once a month, and the testimonies from doing that have just been a major blessing. And so what we're trying to be is like the first century church, and we want to turn Polk City upside down.
Yeah, good words. Our time is about up. Did you want to add anything to that? Keep High Point high on your prayer list. We're 5 months into it, or 6 months now? We're 7 or 8 months, and so still getting established, still making inroads. I know that, Greg, you're making lots of contacts with the community leaders and whatnot too, aren't you?
Well, let me just share this. It's just been on my heart as I'm praying. I pray for Sayleville. I mean, I'm so thankful for you guys. I know the elephant in the room is the next conversation, you know, that you're going to have. Can I just say something?
I don't know.
I'm gonna do it. It's spirit-led. This is spirit-led. Continue, you know, what I've learned, you know, I'm young in my faith. I still am. I'm a young pastor. But Sayleville is my example of pushing the bubble for the gospel to get wider and wider and wider. We want to reach people. And don't let anything stop you, Sayleville, from reaching people. Whatever it is, if something's going to stop you, don't die on that hill. Because you're my example. Sayleville is my example. Lakeside's my example. Living Waters is my example. Sayleville, continue to be the example that you are in this community. And so I've been praying for you guys all week. I've been praying for God to just to continue to give wisdom to you, Pat, and I'm just thankful for your guys' example of pushing the gospel wider and wider, because it's worth it.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Greg. That was very kind of you. We praise the Lord for you. I rejoice with these guys. These guys are right at the top of my list for endearment. And I said something about a week ago. I spoke at the National Camp Directors Conference in Clear Lake. And you had camp directors from California to New York and everybody in between at this camp with all of their staff. And camp directors and staff have, just because they're together and working through things, it's not unusual that they have little struggles with one another, just trying to get along and figuring one another out. And I did a workshop on the value of relationships by laying burdens at the feet of those that you love and fellowship with. And I shared some of my own personal burdens in my life and in my family. My two youngest boys, who were the bane of my existence for a number of years there, and until they turned back to Jesus, you know. But during that time, these guys, I literally saw these guys weeping for me. And that was a very powerful thing. And I include the staff here at Sailorville in the same way. And I said to that group of people, I said, if you don't bear the burdens, your personal burdens with your staff, I told those directors, then they'll never be able to rejoice with you when God answers your prayers. These guys have been able to rejoice with me because they've been my burden bearers as well. And it goes both ways as well. We've done that with one another. And so grateful for these guys as well. Thanks for listening in. I hope there was, you know, I know the whole focus, boy, that wasn't real practical. You didn't talk about a whole, you did mention the book thing and all that kind of stuff. But I think in the end, we have to be committed to this. And I think you hear this from all these heartbeats here. The gospel is what drives the programs. The gospel drives the outreach. The gospel drives the creative ways in which we can reach our communities, encourage our people, lift up our leaders, and all those kinds of things that we want to do, never at the expense of the gospel, right? So thanks. Josh Daggett, would you just thank the Lord and finish your time in prayer, and then I'll just give a word before we dismiss.
Sure. Well, Father, we're thankful for this day and this evening, Lord. Jesus, I think of your great love for us tonight. Lord, proven at the cross. Blood that was shed by you, Lord, and your victorious resurrection 3 days later. And Lord, we have a great hope, and it's you. You are our hope. You're the one that we're going to see face to face. You're the one we're living for. You're the one we're sacrificing for. You're the one we're doing radical church for, Jesus. And so we just look to you, Lord, right now. And we say thank you for saving our souls. Where I think of these guys on this stage that I love so much, and the way that you have radically converted each one of them. And Lord, I look on the crowd here of people that you have radically saved by your grace. And Lord, in a crowd this large, I can't help but think that there wouldn't be some here tonight who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Who for whatever reason, Lord, have come into these doors tonight and into this room unconverted, dead spiritually, and in need of forgiveness of sins, and in need of a personal relationship, Jesus, with you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so, Christ, I know on behalf of all these guys, I just pray for those individuals as well. That they would give their hearts to Christ tonight, that they would get saved tonight, that they would be born again even at this moment. And so, Jesus, we thank you. We praise you. Lord, we could give you all the rest of our years of worship, and it's nothing compared to what you're worth. And so, Christ, we just say thanks. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for the gospel that we preach and proclaim and fellowship around. Jesus, we love you, and in your mighty name we pray. Amen.